This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you live daily noon to 3 Eastern Time, 9 to noon Pacific on non-commercial stations, Pacifica stations nationwide on Sirius XM, all across the country, on YouTube, Facebook, Patreon, on cable and satellite TV via Free Speech TV, on Sling, on Roku, DirecTV, Dish TV, TuneIn, Alexa, podcasts on Apple, and on our website at TomHartman.com. So glad to have you with us. There's a bunch of stuff that really needs to be highlighted. By the way, any day now or any minute now, Barack Obama is going to be giving a speech. We'll keep you up to date on what he has to say. Kavanaugh, he has... I mean, any other Supreme Court nominee in any other point in history, this would be the top of the news. This would be the above-the-fold headline on the New York Times. Birth control pills work by two mechanisms. Hormonal birth control, the stuff that was legalized in 1961. Now, the theory that was put forward in the 1960s, that was actually, this is what science believed, was that somehow they were preventing a fertilized egg from moving down the fallopian tube into the uterus and implanting. So fertilization had happened, and according to the Catholics, that's when life begins, although the ovum couldn't implant, and therefore, you know, basically you had a fertilized egg that was being expelled with a menstrual period. That was the theory. In the 70s, they figured out that that's not how it works. The way it works is that the hormonal birth controls do two things. They, number one, they thicken the mucus in the cervix, which blocks, it's basically like putting a diaphragm in. It blocks the sperm from even getting into the uterus, much less up into the fallopian tubes, number one. And number two, if it does, they block ovulation. They prevent the ovaries from producing an egg that goes into the fallopian tubes to be available to the sperm. So they don't cause abortions, right? Even if you're arguing that an abortion is, you know, expelling a fertilized egg. Well, apparently nobody told this to Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh appears to be still operating off the old science, which is still being promulgated in these crisis pregnancy centers and by, you know, right-wingers and Christian fundamentalists, and some Catholics even, are still promoting this idea that hormonal birth control is actually an abortion pill, essentially. And here's what Kavanaugh had to say yesterday in response to questioning from Ted Cruz.
Another case you were involved in as a judge is you wrote a dissent from denial of rehearing en banc in the Priest for Life case. Mm-hmm. Can you tell this committee about that case and your opinion there?
That was a group that was being forced to provide a certain kind of health coverage over their religious objections.
This is health coverage that included birth control pills.
Under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the question was, first, was this a substantial burden on their religious exercise? And it seemed to me quite clearly it was. It was a technical matter of filling out a form in that case, but that they said filling out the form would make them complicit in the provision of the abortion-inducing drugs that they were, as a religious matter, objected to.
You get this? The abortion-inducing drugs? These were birth control pills. They did not want their insurance company to pay for birth control pills. That's what we're talking about here. This is bizarre. This guy, you think Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned, you know, when Kavanaugh gets on the bench? It'll happen the first day. In addition, we've got, you know, this long list of Kavanaugh's lies. I mean, there's this absolute promotion, first of all, of Brett Kavanaugh. Sinclair stations have now produced, this according to MediaMatters.org, 6 must-run segments pushing Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. 6 of them. And so people watching Sinclair stations are getting these sales pitches for Kavanaugh's nomination. And this is, and then we get to abortion. Well, he lied about abortion, obviously. I mean, that I think yesterday that was his flag. That was his way of saying to the fundamentalists, yeah, forget about Roe v. Wade. Forget about abortion. I'm going to go with the guys who want to outlaw birth control pills, was essentially what Brett Kavanaugh was saying yesterday. But in addition, Joan McCarter, writing over in the Daily Kos, Brett Kavanaugh lied under oath to Congress in 2004 and 2006. And Pat Leahy has documented those lies, and Dianne Feinstein has documented those lies. The first one is in 2004. He told Ted Kennedy that he wasn't involved in handling Bill Pryor's nomination when he worked for George W. Bush. Bill Pryor was, you know, a court nominee, a federal judge. And the reason Bill Pryor was a big deal was Bill Pryor explicitly said, Roe v. Wade, I'm quoting, Roe v. Wade was the worst abomination in the history of constitutional law. And so Kavanaugh is now denying that he had anything to do with trying to get Bill Pryor on the federal bench. And in fact, we've got, you know, Leahy lays out actual emails where he's talking about it. It was a June 2003 email inviting Kavanaugh to attend an emergency umbrella meeting at a private law firm to, quote, discuss nominee Bill Pryor's hearing. He told Pat Leahy yesterday that he had nothing to do with the stolen email, stolen from Pat Leahy himself, stolen from the Senate Judiciary Committee, and given to Republicans about the Democrats' strategy, their strategy around, you know, what they were going to do with judge nominations. And it turns out he was very involved in that. Public emails show that he was lying under oath when he told Leahy in 2006 that he didn't know about illegal warrantless wiretapping. We now have an email from Kavanaugh to John Yoo, dated September 17, 2001, asking, quote, any results yet on the Fourth Amendment implications of random constant surveillance of phone and email conversations of non-citizens who are in the United States when the purpose of the surveillance is to prevent terrorism and criminal violence? How's that warrantless wiretapping going, basically, is what he said. Oh, no, I didn't know anything about that. I didn't even know what was going on. I read about it in the New York Times. No, you've lied. Dick Durbin yesterday said that there are at least three specific examples in which Kavanaugh participated in discussions about the Bush administration's detainee and torture policy. And again, yesterday he said, oh, I didn't know. But in 2006, Kavanaugh denied under oath that he'd been involved in that policymaking. And then finally, Louise Mensch tweeted this a couple days ago, and I retweeted it, and somebody said, oh, why are you retweeting Louise Mensch? So I pulled it. And found, you know, another similar one to retweet. I should have just written one myself. But the question, Kavanaugh had $200,000 in credit card debt last year. This year he doesn't. What the hell's going on? Who paid off his credit card debt, number one? And number two, how did he run up that kind of debt? It looks like a lot of it was buying baseball tickets. Baseball tickets? Was this a way of paying off a gambling debt? We don't know. And nobody asked. Okay. Meanwhile, you want to pick it up?
Just letting you know we have it.
Okay. Meanwhile, the Trump administration announced their intention Thursday to lift court-ordered limits on how long migrant children can be detained. The Trump administration wants to create a Gitmo for children. Permanent or indefinite detention. Right now, the law says that you can't detain a child for more than 21 days in a detention facility, in a prison. You have to get them into a foster home or in with a family or something within 21 days. And the Trump administration is saying, no, we want to be able to hold them indefinitely. Over at Common Dreams, you can read this article. Gitmo for children. Trump administration reveals plans to imprison families with kids indefinitely. And there's some discussion about this. I want to get into a conversation too about the op-ed yesterday, and is that person a collaborator or a patriot? We had this conversation yesterday. I'd like to continue it. And of course, it's Anything Goes Friday. So whatever you want to talk about, we will pick up your calls as soon as we come back from this break. It's 15 minutes past the hour here on the Tom Hartman program, 15 and a half minutes past the hour. And we'll be back with Anything Goes Friday. We'll be keeping you up to date on what President Obama has to say. And, of course, Trump last night was in Montana making the OK signal every time he answered a question. Maybe he just does that. I don't think Cambridge Analytica sat him down and said, do this when you're campaigning. I doubt it.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Or did they? What do you think? We'll be back at 16 minutes past the hour. And welcome back. Oh, and let's see, who is calling on Free Speech TV? Here we go, Kino in Lakeland, Florida. Hey, Kino, what's on your mind today?
Good morning. Well, I want the world to know there's a group of us Republicans organizing to retire Uncle Donnie.
Oh, really?
And we want America to get behind Mike Pence. Now, he sent a little flag. He waved a little flag out the door for the public and says, we've been whispering inside here about, invoking the 25th. Will America be behind us? Let's all of America tell Mike Pence, invoke the 25th as soon as possible and give us a Christmas present for America.
Okay, so you're a Republican, and you're fine with Pence, and you're not fine with Trump. Why? What's different between the two?
Mental state, can we say? Age, mental state. Uncle Donnie needs to be, Ivanka needs to take one hand, and Melania needs to take the other hand, and they need to walk him into retirement in some green pasture somewhere and let him, he did a big thing by getting to be elected president, but it's time for him to retire now, and Ivanka and Melania are going to help us, and that means America's got to support Mike Pence.
Yeah,
and pray for him, and we got to have a plan. And there's the moose herder's agenda now. That's us Republicans that want, in honor of Teddy Roosevelt. Mm. And the moose herder's agenda is that as soon as possible, Mike Pence invoke the 25th, and he pull in John Huntsman to be his vice president.
Now, Teddy Roosevelt created much of our public lands. Mike Pence wants to privatize them. Teddy.
Let me tell you the story on Mike Pence.
Sure.
He thinks he's a gelding. He thinks his ball's been cut off, but he's actually a rig, and we call in the Hearst world. He's got some balls up inside of him, and if he'll quit getting over his fear of homosexuals, he can let his testicles show.
Okay. That was not what I was speaking of. I understand your metaphors. But my point was, if you think you're a Teddy Roosevelt Republican, Teddy Roosevelt actually proposed a livable wage, higher than a minimum wage. Go back and read his Square Deal speeches. He wanted health care for all Americans. He wanted a strong Social Security system 20 years before Social Security was invented. Teddy Roosevelt was a progressive. Are you saying that there are progressive Republicans still in the party?
Well, they're going to be converted to progressives as the events unfold.
I thought that I saw Donald Trump last night in his speech in Montana say that the Democrats want to destroy Social Security and Medicare. I'm sure that you know that the Democrats brought us Social Security and Medicare and have fought to defend it at every turn, and it's always been Republicans opposed to it. Are you
in agreement that Uncle Donnie's not thinking straight and he's got to be put in retirement?
Okay, so do you agree with
him because he's not thinking straight?
I get it. I think that's great, and I would love to know, you know, how widespread this is in Republican world. But my other question is, do you agree with Mike Pence that Social Security should be handed over to the banks and Medicare should be handed over to United Healthcare and other big insurance companies?
Now, here's the metaphor and the parable and the fable. If Mike Pence doesn't do what's right, he's going to end up being a gelding.
So you're saying, so what's, you, okay.
We're going to, we Republicans right. that are for Mike Pence are going to join in with the Democrats. And Mike Pence is going to get Joe Biden and Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper to be special counselors after he appoints John Huntsman as vice president, and it's going to be a bipartisan administration.
Very, very interesting. Kino, we'll see what happens. I'm skeptical, but we'll see what happens. Thanks a lot for the call. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's it is Anything Goes Friday. We just had a caller saying that he's part of a group of Republicans down in Florida who are working to get Mike Pence to initiate a 25th Amendment action against Donald Trump to remove him from office so that that good, godly man, Mike Pence, can take office and run the country appropriately. That was breathtaking. Ronald in Tallahassee, Florida. Hey, Ronald, what's up?
Well, I had another subject, but I'll get in it in a minute. Mike Pence is another guy like Kavanaugh, and I liken them to the Stepford Wives. You know, the people know the Stepford Wives movies?
Yeah, I never saw the movie, but I understand that it's about people who just kind of go along with what's going on.
And also this recent movie, Get Out, with which this black guy was invited to these kind of white upper middle class country club type house. In other words, I'm the guy who called a few weeks ago, and I like it. I like Trump in that he's fighting the CIA and the FBI. Remember, you might not remember, but and I always say Trump has killed fewer people than the CIA or the FBI, so I like him for that. And they're the one. I know there's a lot of people that don't like Trump and are trying to take him down, but they're the ones leading the charge. But can I let me say something about Kavanaugh, if I could? Because
hang on, just a second. Do you think that we should not have a national spy service or a national police force for crimes that cross state lines?
I do.
Why?
Well, not a national police force.
I do. Do you mean you do think that we should not, or you do think that we should?
I think we should have a national police force, but not a national spy force, because in a democracy, almost everything America does is readily available to anyone.
Up until the Patriot Act, the CIA was very, very narrowly circumscribed. They could not do anything inside the United States. All in favor of returning to that doctrine, but I don't think that we should do away with our spy agencies. Okay, that's a debate for another time, Ronald, and it's not a realistic debate because nothing like that's going to happen. You want to talk about Kavanaugh?
Kavanaugh, I just noticed if he was a judge in a courtroom and somebody tried to filibuster like he filibustered, he'd shut them up immediately. Democrats have been too polite talking to him.
I agree.
They'd ask him a question and he would not answer. He'd go all around and he'd say, well, I want you to understand. I want you.
Well, they have pointed out on a couple of occasions that he's filibustering. So, you know, I said I agree that they've been too polite. I'm kind of ambivalent about it. Cory Booker standing up to Grassley yesterday was a thing to behold. And then all the other members of the committee, you know, jumping on board and saying, yeah. But
it's like, you know, it's like basketball or in the schoolyard. The bully Grassley, he pretends to be this nice little guy, but people seeing his true meanness and his, you know, curmudgeonliness. I don't know what the word is. It's very interesting. And Trump is just too Pence. Oh my God! If Pence were president, church would be mandatory.
Yeah, get ready for smarmy. And you know, we would be back to the law that Pence championed in Indiana, that if a woman has a miscarriage, that that she must have a funeral. I mean, it's bizarre. Ronald, thank you for the call. I share your concerns. I very much do. Norma in Montgomery, Alabama. Hey, Norma, what's up? Thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV.
I wanted to call and discuss Kavanaugh, because I agree with you that Kavanaugh would put an end to all forms of birth control. And I grew up under this here in Montgomery, Alabama, under a misogynistic man who told me repeatedly as a child that because I was a girl, I did not need to go to school, that I would just grow up, get married, and have babies, and that that's the only purpose in my life. And growing up here in the South, watching the civil rights movement, I think that if Kavanaugh is on the bench, the only people in this country who will have any rights within 5 years will be only rich white men, that no one else in this country will matter. And I want to ask everybody to please call the Senate and talk to them, whether they're yours or not, because we were born free and we have a right to live free.
At 202-224-3121 is the number for the switchboard for the U.S. Senate if you would like to register your opinion with your senator, and particularly call Murkowski and Collins.
And I've been calling HICAMP. HICAMP's is 202-224-2043.
Right, or you can get to her through the switchboard at 224-3121, because that reaches every single senator. And Norma, the point that you're making, I think, ties into my original rant from, I think it was Tuesday, about where all this stuff is going and where it's come from.
Can't you see a new constitution coming and that we do not have the right to do anything?
And how dangerous it is when the Supreme Court is out of step with the American public, as happened in with the Dred Scott decision. This is when, I mean, in a small way that happened with Brown v. Board of Education, but they weren't out of step with America. They were out of step with Virginia. Virginia shut down their public schools in response to Brown v. Board.
Remember George Wallace standing in the door of the University of Alabama?
Yes. Segregation now, segregation forever. Yes.
Yes. And I think that if Kavanaugh is confirmed and we have five judges who can do whatever they want, the way the Senate and the House are doing whatever they want now, democracy in the United States is done. And we will lose the right to, you know, I can remember when you could practically, if I walked down the street and spoke to a black person, I would be chastised, and I almost got fired when I hired black people.
Wow.
When I hired black people privately to work for me when I was raising horses, I had the white men in the neighborhood come yell at me and also tell me I was paying them too much to build a barn.
Wow, that's amazing. Norma.
Back to that.
Norma, thank you for sharing your stories with us. I always appreciate hearing from you. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV. It's 27 minutes past the hour. We'll be back with more of your calls on Anything Goes Friday here on the Tom Hartman Program. Stick around.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Occupying the media 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. It's the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. President Obama is giving a barn burner of a speech right now, and I'm going to go to that speech so you can hear what he has to say. We'll pick that up for the next few minutes, and then we'll get back to your calls. Here he is.
Neither party has been exclusively responsible for us going backwards instead of forwards. But I have to say this, because sometimes we hear, oh, a plague on both your houses. Over the past few decades, wasn't true when Jim Edgar was a governor here in Illinois, or Jim Thompson was governor. Got a lot of good Republican friends here in Illinois. But over the past few decades, the politics of division and resentment and paranoia has unfortunately found a home in the Republican Party.
The show, and so I have some doubts about whether we have the right to actually carry that video live. So we will be chopping this thing up. The speech that he gave earlier in the speech, he said, Trump is out there talking about how wonderful the economy. He never mentioned Trump, but he says, you know, when you hear about how great the economy is, don't forget when that recovery started. And of course, everybody was applauding. And, you know, he's laying out essentially the stuff that we talk about every day on this program and how bizarre and corrupt this administration is. And what a great job in many regards he did, even in the face of massive Republican opposition in the 8 years that he was president. So back to your calls. Anything Goes Friday here. Jesse in Miami, Florida. Hey, Jesse, what's up?
Hey, hi, Tom. Hey, I was looking at the big picture as always. The First Amendment, we got this guy, you know, up for nomination for the Supreme Court. What do you think would happen if somebody was to challenge capitalism as being a violation of the First Amendment?
How?
Well, the First Amendment says we are all equal. Capitalism between the employer and employee, that relationship don't exist.
Well, the statement of equality is not in the Constitution, Jesse. It's in the Declaration of Independence, which is not a legal document any longer. It was arguably a legal document up until the time of the end of the Revolutionary War, but it no longer is. I agree it's part of our history, and it's part of our mythology. It's part of our cultural perspective, our political, it's at the core of our political philosophy. It's at the core of the Enlightenment. But
so what does the First Amendment say?
The First Amendment guarantees the right of a free press. It guarantees your right to exercise your religion without interference from the government. It guarantees your right to assemble peaceably and petition for redress of grievances, which is the language that they use basically to protest against your government.
Well, that would violate the free speech thing, because how can you have free speech and you have to pay for it?
Well, then that's an issue that comes up a lot, and broadly speaking and in theory, you're right. I mean, you would say to your employer, how dare you say that I can't, for example, these non-disclosure agreements right now that Trump is having people sign, where they can't go on television and speak ill of Donald Trump or they have to pay $1 million, you could say, hey, that's a violation of my free speech. In government, if you work in government, yeah, government can't do that. And I don't know how Trump is doing this. And in fact, there are substantial questions about whether it's even legal that he's asking people to sign non-disclosure agreements, although he did threaten to sue Amorosa for $1 million just last week. But the courts have repeatedly ruled that in a private business, that the First Amendment only protects you from interference in your speech by government. And so if the body, the agency that is denying you free speech is your employer, then the First Amendment doesn't protect you. Jesse, great try. And I love the way your mind works. I just don't think that that's going to be the compelling argument that we need, although it may be a great start. John in Los Angeles, listening on KPFK. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Tom Hartman? I'll be quick. First off, I listen to you all the time because when they do the rebroadcast, I listen to it. Glad to see you on in the morning time.
Thank you.
This Kavanaugh dude, he's very bad news for one.
Yeah.
And me being a black man, as bad as I'm already disenfranchised, this just makes it a lot worse. That's one thing I wanted to bring up. One other quick thing I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, if I can just add to that, John, before you continue. Twice, and I saw this on a couple of programs last night. I'm sorry I don't have it right in front of me. I should have dug it up. But twice in the recent past, Kavanaugh has written about things like affirmative action programs being, quote, naked race-based quotas. And that's the kind of language that you expect from Pat Buchanan. Back to you.
I don't even think Pat Buchanan would be that candid.
No, he's more sophisticated than that these days. Yeah.
Exactly.
You're right.
That's actually disgusting language right there.
Yeah.
And another thing is, while everyone is, worried about Roe versus Wade, even though, I mean, me personally, I know the whole history of that, which actually goes all the way back to towards the end, at the end of World War II. There's a whole lot that has to deal with that. So I'm kind of uncomfortable with that for, you know, extermination reasons. But other than that, this guy here, he's a virtual nightmare. And there is no real way to stop him.
Well, the way to stop him is for everybody to call 202-224-3121 and ask for each of their two senators, one after the other, and say to them explicitly, vote no on Kavanaugh. This guy should not be on the Supreme Court.
Are all Democrats, though. So
call them, too. I mean, you know, they need to know that people are out there behind them. They need to know that there's a movement, that there's a wave. I'm totally with you. John, thank you for the call. It's a great start to the conversation. Christopher in Vancouver, Washington. Hey, Christopher. Kavanaugh?
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call, Tom.
Sure.
And thanks for all that you do, and welcome back to Portland.
My pleasure. Thank you, Christopher. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was wondering, if Kavanaugh is seated on the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. could he be prosecuted for perjury?
No, he could be impeached for perjury, but okay. It's extremely unlikely. The last time an impeachment happened of a Supreme Court justice was back in 1804 or 6 or 8 or something like that, the first decade of the 1800s, and they did not get a conviction in the Senate. You have to, I mean, in the House, you can impeach pretty much any federal official. From the president to the Supreme Court to others, you can impeach with a majority vote in the House, but that doesn't remove them from office. That requires a trial in the Senate, and then that requires a two-thirds vote of the Senate. So I'm thinking, I was watching Kavanaugh yesterday when Kamala Harris was grilling him about whether basically he was coordinating with the Trump administration and saying to Cassowitz, Trump's lawyer, or his people in his law firm, Apparently, a guy named McManus is an old friend of his who works for Cassowitz. Cassowitz, of course, is Trump, was Trump's lawyer in the Mueller investigation. And whether he went, whether he's having a conversation with Cassowitz's people saying, put me on the Supreme Court and I'll protect Donald Trump. And she was asking him that question, and you could just see the gears. In fact, we played the video and audio of it yesterday on the program. You could just see the gears in his head turning. Okay, if I lie, if I tell the truth, I'm sunk. I won't be on the Supreme Court, and I might even lose my federal judgeship on the D.C. Circuit. On the other hand, if I lie, yes, it's a crime, but who's going to prosecute me? I mean, you know, right. John Roberts lied in his confirmation hearings. We know that. Clarence Thomas lied in his confirmation hearings. We know that now, too. There's never been any penalty for these guys. And so you could just see the gears turning in his head as he was pausing and pausing and pausing and then finally just thought, oh, what the hell? No, I didn't have any conversation like that. Like, right. You know, I dare you. And, you know, that's what I think is going on. So unfortunately, no, you can't prosecute him for perjury. You can impeach him, but it's gonna take a lot. Christopher, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Tom.
I do appreciate it. Roderick in Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Roderick, what's up?
Hi, Tom. First off, in response to the pro-Pence caller, I don't think he's going to get much done. I think
Pence
or the caller? Hypothetically with the president, Mike Pence, I think it's going to be the last 2 years of the George W. Bush administration, in which I think he's going to keep his distance from the media and pretty much be in damage control in the remaining years of Trump's first term.
We'll see. I mean, I would be, his demeanor indicates that he will be a Jerry Ford kind of president. You know, a nice bubbling guy who just kind of doesn't do too much damage. But if you look at his policies, Mike Pence, you know, from the time he was a right-wing talk show host, through his time in the House, through his time as governor, you know, he championed legislation forcing women who have miscarriages to essentially report themselves to the police and have funerals and hang on to whatever came out of them, fish it out of the toilet or whatever. He championed the privatization of Social Security. He championed the end of Medicare, you know, blocking Medicaid. This guy is a hardcore right-winger, and I think he's more dangerous than Donald Trump in many regards because Donald Trump doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And Mike Pence, who is he owes his career to the Koch brothers, knows exactly what he's doing. And that makes him, in my opinion, much more dangerous.
Very true. But in regards to my main point, in regards to the Kavanaugh situation going on in D.C. right now, I think Kavanaugh is just a good example of us desperately needing another counterculture as we did back in the 1960s. And I know, Tom, you know all about this.
I think it's emerging right now, Roderick. I think that you're seeing it under the rubric of resistance, under the rubric of Black Lives Matter, and under the broader rubric of the millennial generation.
Yes. The problem I have is one of the biggest things I got from the you know, studying about the 1960s in school and the, you know, the counterculture we had, and was the anti-war movement. My question is, where is the anti-war movement for the situation in the Middle East right now?
The issue when you're planning activism, in my opinion, and particularly even when I'm thinking about the positions I'm taking on this program and you know, what I'm the battles I'm willing to fight, the hills I'm willing to die on, is that there is a difference between winning wars and winning battles, to use a military metaphor. As much as I have a lot of discomfort with that, I don't know of a better way to explain this really quickly. And that is that some people seem very, very caught up in winning every battle, but they very often lose the war as a consequence of that. And they find themselves fighting a whole lot of small battles that just, you know, waste their energy, burn through their energy, and they end up losing the war. I'm perfectly willing to lose a few battles here and there to win the larger war. And I think we have to keep the larger issues in mind. What kind of a society do we want? What kind of country is this? What are our core values? Who really are we? You know, what does it mean to become a social democracy? Or to even be one? I mean, I'd say we have been one since the FDR administration. What does this, you know, how do you get there? How is it that every country in the world can have free education, free college education, well, free all education to their kids, and free health care, and we can't. What is different about us? Are we just the world's suckers? I think that as the extent to which every single battle we pick, we put it in the context of this larger war, and is really important. And that's why I think even the discussions about Brett Kavanaugh need to be held in the context of our value system rather than just, you know, these little individual points. Am I making sense here, Roderick?
Oh, yeah, you're making a lot of sense, Tom.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. It's Anything Goes Friday here on the Tom Hartman Program. Taking your calls for the entire show. It's coming up on, 12 minutes before the hour, 48 minutes past. Helping you win the water cooler wars, the place where despair is not an option. We'll be back. I'll keep you up to date on what President Obama is saying, and we'll be picking up more of your calls right after this.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's the program where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? And we dare to say, no, no way! What are you, crazy? We'll be back. And welcome back. Cheryl in Santa Barbara, California, listening to us on KPFK. Hey, Cheryl, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Yes, I was. I called in because I hear the left, not just you, but Democracy Now! And other programs, it feels like constantly putting down, I feel, like the white middle class and constantly talking about how the Democrats are on our side. I live in Santa Barbara, California. I was raised poor in Detroit, lifted myself out of the social class for where I was born, had a child without a wedlock, did not abort my child, and as a result of owning a home and working hard, I have had my life and my career destroyed by a corrupt judicial system. I've written books. I have a short story called The Courts Are Taking Away Your Second Amendment Rights. And I've written other books describing things that have happened to me as a result of fighting to keep my home against known mortgage fraud. And I never get heard. Nobody, you say tag, you're it. I write books. I try to call in. I try to talk. I am never heard. I hear about illegal immigration all the time, but my voice is never heard. I have women. I have a woman mayor, Hispanic. I have a female police chief. I have a female district attorney, Dianne Feinstein's my senator. I have women all around me.
This is Kamala Harris.
85% of the women who lost their homes in Santa Barbara County to foreclosure were older, white, middle-class women. None of my women representatives have ever, including Hannah Beth Jackson, ever listened to my concerns. Ever. Not even once. I am no
longer Cheryl, you're speaking, I assume
I
that you're speaking, Cheryl, can, I got it. I assume that you're speaking of yourself and not of white middle class women broadly, because if you turn on women and men, but if you turn on the TV, most of what you're going to see is white middle class people. There's certainly no shortage of white middle class women on TV and radio, in print, in positions of power. They may not be listening to you, Cheryl, but America is basically, I mean, it was 53% of white women is what put Donald Trump in the White House.
TV is not representing us women right now, in California anyways, and in Santa Barbara. Our district attorney has beaten up so many white middle-class women. It's not just me. I'm the only one speaking out. 85% of the people who lost their homes in Santa Barbara County were women. The DA has prosecuted at least four of those women for doing minor things to try to keep their home. You go into our jail right now in County Santa Barbara, it's all white women. I know. I just spent a day.
Well, that's because Santa Barbara's mostly white, Cheryl.
No, it isn't. Minority, it's Hispanic. I don't know where you're getting your facts, but the majority of people in Santa Barbara are Hispanics, and the majority of the women and the politicians who are in power, and I am not anti-Semitic, but they are all...
They're all Jewish? Oh, God. Okay, Cheryl, thank you, and good luck with your book on the Second Amendment. We'll be back. It's 52 minutes past the hour. Say what? Welcome back, Tom. Welcome back, Tom Hartman here with you, and it's Anything Goes Friday. Richard in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, Richard, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. What I'm wondering is, so if Kavanaugh actually does get onto the bench, what's this country going to look like when, you know, there's five very conservative, reactionary justices? And the country wants changes, such as health care, protection of the environment, that kind of thing. And, you know, so you could have 95% of the people want gun regulation. They won't allow that to happen. What is this going to look like? So
this was my opening rant, I believe it was Tuesday, maybe it was Friday of last week, that when the Supreme Court is out of step with the people, you have an explosive combination. The last time we saw this was the era from 1933 until 1937. And during that time, Franklin Roosevelt kept passing law after law after law, and the Supreme Court kept striking them down. And, you know, this was the end of the Lochner era court. For example, the National Industrial Recovery Act, also known as the NRA, the National Recovery Act, it provided for a minimum wage. It provided for an absolute right to unionization. It provided for maximum work hours. And it provided a venue for workers to have a place where they could challenge their employers without fear of punishment. The Supreme Court struck down all of those provisions. In fact, I believe they struck down the entire NRA. It might have been just most of it. And as a violation of the individual right to contract between employees and employers. And this created an explosion. I mean, you know, they struck down a good chunk of the New Deal. This was in 1935 that they struck this down. And late 1935 and into early 1936, this was going on. And then in 36, it was an election year, and FDR started campaigning on this. And so the Supreme Court put on their docket to hear arguments in late 36 that they were going to hear arguments on the constitutionality of Social Security and the constitutionality of there was another piece to it. It might have been the WPA. I forget which part of it, but it was, two major issues that FDR had. And that was when he started talking about he was going to pack the court. And in 1937, after he was sworn in, he won the election in 36 in a landslide. And in 37, I believe he had the votes to do it. You can read about this in the book about Frances Perkins's being the first labor secretary, the woman who wrote the New Deal, I think is the title of the book. But it's all right there. The court backed down from FDR's pressure. But, in the 1860, the court did not back down. Roger Taney said that, you know, slaves are the property of their owners, period, full stop, anywhere in the country. Abraham Lincoln said, I'm not going to enforce your decision. So, you know, it's a prescription for disaster, basically, Richard. Thank you for the call.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.